Dr. Chita is trained and licensed as a naturopathic physician and has been in private practice since 1988. Naturopathic physicians are the only doctors who are medically trained in the use of herbs, vitamins, and minerals. Dr. Chita is currently a member on the State of Hawaii Board of Examiners in Naturopathic Medicine. You may direct appropriate letters and phone calls to his office at 615 Pi'ikoi Street, Suite 1114, Honolulu, Hawaii 96814, or phone 589-1955. That's 589-1955. You may also email Dr. Chita at wellness@pdchawaii.com.
This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, my patient Clayton joins us to share his story of how he suffered with extreme dizziness, fatigue, anxiety, insomnia, and ravenous hunger, and how he beat his condition with natural medicine. Clay, welcome to the program.
Hi, doctor.
Clayton, let's just get right into it. Dizziness has a great degree of range, right? Tell the listening audience just how bad your dizziness was, how long you suffered with it, and how it affected your life.
Well, in about February of 2005, I started having dizzy spells, and it was something I never experienced before in my life. So when you say degree, to me it was pretty severe.
Because you never had them before.
Right. I actually had a hard time just walking straight. I felt like I was a little bit floating. I felt like I would just maybe wobble a little bit. And it was a pretty scary experience.
Mm-hmm. How often would you get these dizziness episodes, and how long would they last?
Well, you know, it started just all of a sudden. I was actually, I was driving a car on the freeway, and I started feeling lightheaded, and then it steadily progressed within minutes to a dizzy spell, and then almost a weightlessness feeling, like I was just floating. And every day after that, it would be just it would just come on, maybe once or twice an hour. It would be really almost a feeling that you was losing gravity.
So you would experience them once or twice an hour every day?
Almost every day, right after the first symptom.
Okay. I guess if you're having that sensation that you're floating, you would feel like you had no control of your how you were walking, or if you were walking.
Absolutely. It was actually quite scary. I actually thought it was early warning signs of maybe something really, really serious.
I'm sure you went to see your doctor, but before we talk about your doctors, let's talk about some of the other symptoms that you had, because dizziness wasn't the only symptom. But did they label that as vertigo, or was it just dizziness?
Well, actually, when I started talking to friends, they kind of told me, oh, I think you have vertigo. And when they explained to me what it was, I said, oh, I bet you that's what I have. So when I called my doctor to make an appointment, I explained the symptoms. Even the receptionist, the assistant, said, oh, it sounds like vertigo. So basically, you know, I had this great fear that I had something seriously wrong even before I went to the doctor.
I guess inside your head, I guess, right?
Right.
Your dizziness, you know, probably did trigger other things, right? Because if all of a sudden you have this dizziness and a loss of control, and it's happening, you know, several times in a day, that must have felt made you feel a little anxious.
Actually, it made me worry a lot. I actually started to develop kind of like a fear of bad news, and I'm kind of a worrywart, so whenever the dizziness spells would occur, I would actually assume the worst, and fainting was actually one of my greatest fears. I felt that, you know, I would be out on the sidewalk with strangers, I would get dizzy and faint, and no one would know what was wrong with me, who I was, and pretty much that that really kind of really affected my life.
Yeah, I would imagine that's kind of what's going through your mind. Did you ever faint, though?
No. I would actually, when I kind of felt that my dizzy spells were severe, I would actually sit down.
You would sit down?
I would sit down.
So you basically had to sit down, I guess.
Right. I just assumed that it was going to be pretty bad. Actually, there were times where I was at work, I would sit in my office. There were times where when I was at home, I wouldn't go out because I would sense that I would be getting a dizzy spell very soon.
Would anything make that dizziness go away or feel better?
I thought it was my imagination, but you know, having had the symptoms for almost 7 months prior to seeing you, I kind of realized that whenever I would eat something, I would feel okay for a little while, and then usually about an hour after eating, my dizzy spells would occur, and it would continually occur until I ate again. So there was almost like this break in between meals where I would have an occasional feeling of, I guess, dizzy, and then feeling normal, and it was, I kind of suspected it was somehow related to food.
So you would eat, you'd feel good, and then an hour or so later, you would have the dizzy spell.
Exactly.
And then you would eat, you'd feel better.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You also had extreme fatigue. Can you talk about the fatigue? You know, when did it start? How bad was it? And how did it affect your life?
Actually, the fatigue started a couple years prior. Okay. I would say in about 2003. I assumed it was just from work. Work can be very stressful, very demanding. And plus, as you get older, your body's not the same. So I just assumed that fatigue and exhaustion was just basically, you know,
a symptom of working hard.
A symptom of being successful, I guess.
Okay, that's a better way to put it.
I guess.
Right. You also had problems sleeping, you know. Can you talk about... let's go back to the fatigue a little bit. I mean, fatigue also, depending on who you're talking to, can mean different things to different people. How fatigued were you?
Actually, physically, I felt like I was okay. Mentally, I was exhausted. Mentally, I was pretty much just burnt out at the end of the workday. When I would get home in the evening, all I would want to do would be just sit down, relax, watch TV. So for me, fatigue was basically your mind is just tired, doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there who can relate to you. So pretty much Monday through Friday, by the end of the day, you didn't want to talk to anybody. You didn't want a complex conversation.
Exactly.
You didn't want to do any reading.
Exactly.
Okay. I guess it must have affected your life somehow also, right? Because if you're exhausted mentally Monday through Friday, you probably don't want to do much after work.
It actually pretty much defined my life. I basically just worked 12-hour days in the evening. Last thing I wanted to do was go out and socialize. I was just so mentally drained. Hobbies, activities, things that I used to enjoy, basically all I wanted to do was just stay home and relax.
You used to, or you probably still do work 12-hour days, but you mentioned 12-hour days?
Yes, I do work 12-hour days.
5 days a week?
5 days a week.
Man.
And actually, it's better now. A couple years ago when I was just exhausted, it was just so difficult to do.
Oh, okay. So you're still working 12-hour days,
yes.
But because you're not exhausted.
Right.
Okay. All right. You let the cat out of the bag.
Right.
We're going to talk about that again.
Okay.
Let's talk about the insomnia. Now, you know, insomnia being difficulty in either falling asleep or staying asleep or both. Would you tell us about that, how it affected you and, you know, how bad it was?
I've always had, I guess, a difficulty falling asleep right away. I'm not the kind of person that can just go into bed and 5 minutes later be in deep sleep. My mind's always racing, thinking about the day, thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow. And it takes me a while to wind down. But about the same time as my symptoms, my dizzy spells started in 2005, my mind would just wake up all by itself in the middle of the night, and I would just be just alert, and I would just do this several times during the night.
You would just wake up?
I would just wake up like I was never sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
But in the morning, when my alarm rang, I was exhausted.
Because you weren't getting much sleep because you were waking
right.
up. Did you have difficulty in falling asleep after you woke up?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would actually close my eyes and I would think I'm sleeping, but my mind would be kind of drifting off, and I would be thinking about, am I sleeping? Or it was pretty weird.
Okay, so you weren't sleeping much at all during those months.
It was a very light sleep.
Yeah, okay. And that could contribute to being exhausted, I would imagine.
Right.
But you did say your fatigue started 2 years before the dizziness and the insomnia started.
Yes.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about the anxiety. I think most people would feel anxious if we felt dizzy on a regular basis and really not know what's going on. But would you tell us how you felt and what would trigger your anxiety and how often they would occur?
You know, I kind of, in reflecting back, I kind of believe my anxiety was directly related to my ailments, because as soon as the symptoms started, whenever I would feel dizzy, I would just have this great fear in me, and I would always worry about when the next symptom was going to occur, and it basically overwhelmed me. And on a daily basis, I would have this very anxious feeling of not knowing when and to what degree the dizzy spells would be.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So you were, I guess, pretty much almost every minute of the day.
Exactly.
And day in and day out, day after day, you were always worried about the next episode of dizziness.
I guess you could say that would be accurate, because, you know, whenever the dizzy spells would occur, I would just worry that this is the big one.
This is going to be the one.
This is the one. This is the one that's going to make me hit the ground, and they're going to have to take me by ambulance.
Okay. I mean, you know, I think most people would worry about that if it was happening on a regular basis like that. All right. You also had sinus congestion as part of your symptoms that you had. I know we didn't talk about this, or I didn't mention this early in the program, but when did your sinus congestion start? How often did you have the sinus congestion, and what kind of treatment did you receive for it?
You know, my sinus congestion, I really never paid much attention to it. When I was a child, I just figured that's how I always was. I always had a stuffy nose. When I woke up in the morning, it was always just difficult time breathing. You know, I just never really sought out treatment for it. I just assumed that that's the kind of person I was.
Mm.
It was only after I consulted with you, when you had brought up the topic of sinus congestion, I was like, yeah, but that's how I've always been.
Yeah, that's not a big deal for me. I'm here for the dizziness.
Right. I never paid attention to sinus congestion.
You always had it your whole life.
I always had it.
So you just thought, that's me.
Right, that's
okay.
Me.
Well, a lot of people feel that too. When I was young, I had a lot of running noses, you know, in the morning. And I always thought that was me until, you know, I changed my diet. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. So, Clayton, you had a lot of concerning symptoms. The dizziness. And it's not just mild dizziness. It was severe dizziness. It wasn't just happening once every 3 or 4 months. You were having that dizziness come on several times a day. Potentially every hour or two, it sounds like.
Right.
That you were up
right.
and about. Which would trigger the anxiety attacks. You had great insomnia, which may have been causing the fatigue, and your fatigue or mental exhaustion was really affecting your life. Did you see any medical doctors for your condition? And if you did you receive any laboratory tests? And what was the conclusions of the test?
Well, I never went to my doctor for the insomnia. I just figured, you know, it was just basically stress. I did go to my doctor when I first started having dizzy spells, because I really, really suspected that there was something physically wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
They did a complete examination. They did some laboratory tests. They did a blood workup, and my doctor was very casual about it. He said, I can't find anything wrong. He said, you know, it's not uncommon for people to have these episodes and then eventually they just go away. So, anyway, weeks went by, another month or two went by, I went back, and I told my doctor, I said, these symptoms are getting worse. I said, I really, really believe that it's an early warning sign that something's going wrong with me. And I kind of got the sense that they thought I was imagining things, or it was all in my head.
Mm.
So when he kind of, you know, implied that, I said, let's have an MRI.
Yeah.
I said, you know, really believe that there is something wrong with me, and if there is something wrong with me and it's in my head, well, let's look inside my head.
Yeah, very, very wise. And I'm surprised they didn't want to do the MRI right off the bat, actually.
Right. I that's what I suspected. I said, you know what, let's just do everything because I don't want to feel like this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good that you, you know, asked, if not demanded, the MRI scan of your brain. What was found?
Actually, everything turned out perfect, exactly what the doctor told me would happen. But for me, I just needed to know. I really needed to have proof that there was nothing wrong with me. I couldn't just take his assumption and his words. I needed to have tests telling me, you're okay here, you're okay there, and then I would just, okay, let's go to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How did that make you feel, though, Clayton? I mean, you were having these severe symptoms, great dizziness, fatigue, insomnia, anxiety, and all the tests was coming back normal. How were you feeling at that point?
It was actually pretty scary and at the same time frustrating. You know, my whole life I've worked around automobiles, and when you describe a symptom, the mechanic goes, okay, I know what's wrong, let's change this part, and we're done.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with the human body, you can't really change parts, but I felt that he could very easily figure out what was wrong
with
me.
After
all, he's the professional.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as the months went by, I got really concerned that my symptoms were early warning signs to something far more severe.
Mm. And nothing was being found. Eventually, what was the diagnosis and what kind of treatment did you receive from the medical doctors?
Well, I had to really insist on further testing. They basically just told me, you know, it'll probably go away. Well, when I started describing exactly how the symptoms were occurring and how I thought they might be related to what I'm eating, that's when he said, okay, well, we can do a sugar test. And basically he said, we'll test your blood and you'll fast. You won't eat for, you know, so many hours. And I told my doctor, I said, well, if I don't eat for 10 hours, I know I'm going to feel in the morning. I'm going to feel horrible. I probably won't be able to stand up. And he said, well, that's what you're going to have to do this sugar test. So we went through the tests, and they actually had me fast. They did a test, then they had me eat, went back, did another test, and that's when they found out. He said, it appears you have, I guess, what they call pre-diabetes.
Pre-diabetes. Okay. All right. What kind of treatment did you receive for that?
You know, when I got diagnosed with pre-diabetes, I thought, okay, great. They know what's wrong, and then they'll prescribe me a pill, and I'll pop it in my mouth, and I'll feel better. Actually, I was shocked when my doctor said that there wasn't a drug treatment for pre-diabetes. He said it's just something that you're going to have to learn to adjust with. He said, and basically, pre-diabetes is a early stage, and not everybody develops into having diabetes, but he warned me. He said, diabetes runs in your family, so this is usually a an early stage warning. And I felt pretty much helpless that the doctor would tell me that it was an early warning, but there was nothing you could do.
Mm.
When you get diabetes, then there's steps and treatments, and
then we'll treat you.
Right, uh-huh. Right. And I said, well, what I do for the dizzy spells? He said, well, you mentioned that when you eat, you feel a little better. I said, I do. He says, well, eat a candy bar every time you feel dizzy. And I just thought that was just ridiculous. I couldn't accept that that's how I was going to be living.
Ah, because if you're pre-diabetic, you keep eating candy bars 5-6 times a day, you're for sure going to become a diabetic.
Right, right.
How did you feel, Clayton? Because your concern was when you do the fasting blood sugar test in the morning, you would wake up feel terrible. How did you feel when you woke up in the morning when you hadn't eaten for a while?
I actually felt very dizzy. I would feel very lightheaded. Before I could do anything, I would always have to eat something. So, you know, my morning routines are pretty simple. I get up and I take my dog for a walk. Taking my dog for a walk turned out to be just a real great difficulty. I would actually have to eat something, wait maybe 15-20 minutes till I felt a little bit stable, and then walk my dog. And sometimes I would even feel that I couldn't walk my dog. I mean, that just goes to show you how bad things had gotten.
Yeah, yeah. So
right,
you just
right.
Didn't feel stable at all.
No.
Okay.
No.
So, you know, I guess we kind of understand why you would come to see me for your dizziness, but why did you decide to have me treat your dizziness and anxiety problem?
Actually, you know, Dr. Uchida, I was at work, and you know, there were days when I couldn't go to work. There were days at work that I just had to go home. I mean, I really couldn't function.
Mm.
And I was talking to one of my coworkers, and she had mentioned, you know, she goes, I had similar symptoms to what you're experiencing, and you know, this is what I did. And I was telling her, no, you know, my doctors told me I have pre-diabetes. And she goes, no, but your symptoms are very similar. And she was telling me, oh, I have this other illness. And I said, no, it can't be. And she says, well, you know what, why don't you go see Dr. Uchida and let him see. And I was thinking, you know what, I'll see anybody at this point, because my doctor doesn't have any treatment for me. So I was pretty desperate.
Yeah.
I was willing to see anybody, and
try. And you were willing to try something, anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So you came in to see me. What did I diagnose you with?
I think you called it systemic candida infection.
Yeah, a systemic candida infection.
Right.
As a fungal infection. What type of treatment did I recommend for you?
Well, surprisingly to me, it was a diet change. It was a diet change and some simple supplements.
I know you were concerned, right? Because your doctor told you eat candy bars for your dizziness. And I was telling you what, Clayton?
Well, basically, my doctor was saying when you feel dizzy, you need sugar. And when I went to see you, you were telling me that I had too much sugar. And you were telling me we need to avoid sugary foods. And I just said, oh, I can just see it happening. Taking sugar out of my diet, and I'm just going to get worse.
Yeah. I know you were very hesitant. And you did mention hypoglycemia, too. So what kind of diet did I put you on, though, Clayton? Because I'm sure, you know, the listening audience is interested in knowing the diet that you went on.
Actually, it was a pretty simple diet. I mean, you basically educated me, and you told me what foods to avoid that actually I didn't realize were actually simple sugar foods. And I had no understanding of types of foods. I just ate anything that tasted good.
You're not alone, though.
No,
a lot of people out there do the same
thing. I enjoy eating. I enjoy cooking. So when you educated me and you told me, you know, these foods, and it seemed every single food that you mentioned was something that I ate
a lot of. Which were simple carbohydrates.
Simple carbohydrates.
All right. So let's talk about what are simple carbohydrate foods for the listening audience. They are all the good-tasting stuff that you had mentioned, like cookies, cakes, pies, pastries, chocolate, ice creams, candies, but also fruits and dried fruits and juices, soda, as well as pasta and noodles. You probably eat a lot of that. Bread, crackers, box cereals like Cheerios and Fruit Loops and Wheaties and Special K.
Everything that tastes good.
Yeah, basically alcohol, vinegar are simple carbohydrates. But we also removed other foods from your diet too, which makes the diet even harder. Would you talk about those a little bit, Clay?
Well, you removed dairy, and you removed, I mean, you mentioned a lot of the foods earlier, and those were my favorite foods, my daily foods.
Mm.
Bread is something that I just thoroughly enjoy with every meal. And rice.
Mm-hmm. White rice, sorry.
White rice. You know, being Asian, I mean, rice is the staple of your diet. And I was... Well, you know, doctor, that left me with very little choices.
The other foods that we eliminated from your diet, though, was tomatoes and eggplant, but purpose potatoes.
Right. Potatoes.
Mushrooms, coffee, soy, including tofu and soy sauce, as well as corn,
right,
to name the most common ones. Was the diet hard?
You know, when you first told me of all the foods I couldn't eat, and I kind of looked at the list of what was left, I thought it was going to be real difficult. I thought, you know, there's nothing left to eat. But, you know, I was so desperate at that point that I said, you know, I'm willing to do anything and try anything. And actually, It was actually very easy. When I thought about changing my diet, I just thought, you know, there's no way I can go without bread, no way I can go without pasta and noodles and rice. But, you know, when I started noticing that I was feeling better, it was just a no-brainer. It was just so easy.
All right. Okay, I diagnosed you with systemic candida infection. We put you on a diet that eliminated simple carbohydrates and the most common food allergies in your diet, as well as gave you some supplements to help kill off the fungus, right? Basically, mm-hmm. and put the good bacteria back in your body. Do you recall how you felt 3 weeks after you started the treatment?
I felt tremendously better. I still had occasional dizzy spells, but they were very mild. The fatigue was much better. I actually... When you asked me, I really didn't pay much attention, but when you asked me how I felt in the mornings, I actually felt rested. I was sleeping better, and I was waking up maybe just once a night. I had a lot more energy.
Hmm.
And surprisingly, my anxiety attacks started to fade. And I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but I would have increased heart rate whenever I would have my dizzy spells. Almost like a panic attack. Right, that also subsided.
Yeah, I would imagine you did have increased heart rate and heart palpitations when you worried about, is this going to be the time I'm going to faint?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so what were you thinking after 3 weeks and you were feeling that much better?
I couldn't believe how better I started to feel. You know, having had my ailments for about 7 months prior to seeing you, things pretty much took control of my life. I kind of basically didn't have a life.
Mm.
So I was really surprised after 3 weeks. I could actually finally see my road to recovery. It was kind of exciting.
Yeah, I bet at that time, no? I mean, it sounds like you were pretty consumed with your dizziness and it was just taking over your life basically.
Absolutely.
In all levels.
It controlled my life.
Yeah. Clay, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more about how you're doing now.
Okay.
Let's see. Where is my... Oh, I don't have it. So, I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. You're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium at K108. Clayton and I will be right back with more about how he overcame extreme dizziness, fatigue, anxiety, insomnia, and ravenous hunger. Right after we take this very important sponsorship break with our friends from Nutrex Hawaii, DeVita Natural Skincare, the Good Health Food Store, and the Island Wellness Center.
You look and feel best when you eat well, but easy lifestyles can cause us to miss out on the 5 servings of vegetables recommended by doctors for optimum health. To help bridge the gap, we recommend organic Spirulina Pacifica from Kona Cyanotech Corporation. Hawaiian Spirulina Pacifica supplies vegetable nutrition so concentrated that just a few tablets per day provide a wealth of carotenoids, B vitamins, enzymes, and minerals. And Hawaiian Spirulina Pacifica is naturally concentrated, not extracted, plus it is 100% organically grown. Let nature's richest source of antioxidants and vitamins boost your energy levels and give you radiant health. Enjoy a daily boost from organic Hawaiian Spirulina and enjoy a healthy glow.
Now you can experience the nutritional benefits and healing power of rare essential oils with DeVita Natural Skincare products, engineered by nature for healthy, vibrant skin. DeVita Natural Skincare products are the perfect combination of nature and science formulated for sensitive skin, mature skin, and troubled acne-prone skin. DeVita's organic aloe vera-based products balance the skin naturally, restoring natural pH levels and bringing optimal health to the skin. But here's the real beauty. DeVita's fast-acting ingredients mean you will see improvement in your skin in as little as 10 to 14 days. And all of the extracts and essential oils used in DeVita are alcohol, fragrance, and paraben-free, with no animal testing used in the development of these exclusive spa-quality formulas. Ask for DeVita by name at your local natural product store or by calling toll-free 1-877-2-DEVITA for a location nearest you.
The FDA has finally done something right. The FDA recently approved the use of low-level laser therapy for the treatment of carpal tunnel syndrome. Scientific research has proven laser therapy effective in 75% of severe carpal tunnel syndrome injuries. This new technology is so effective that General Motors has established laser therapy clinics on its factory sites. The United States Olympic team has been using laser therapy to treat injuries and speed recovery of its athletes since January 2004. Laser therapy works by transporting packets of energy called photons into the cell. These photons increase the production of ATP, and ATP is the energy that human cells use to function, work, and regenerate itself. By increasing ATP levels in the cell can repair and heal itself up to 10 times its normal rate, significantly speeding up the healing process and relieving pain. Laser therapy reduces swelling and inflammation, enhances muscle, ligament, and cartilage repair, encourages nerve regeneration and bone formation, thus relieving pain and enhancing the healing of injuries and disease. Laser therapy is effective with carpal tunnel syndrome, tennis and golfer's elbow, sciatica, arthritis, and joint pain. Your first laser treatment is free, and additional visits are as low as $30. So call Dr. Jason Uchida to schedule your appointment for pain relief today at 589-1955. You can learn more about low-level laser therapy online at www.sportslaser.com.
The Good Health Food Store. As our name implies, our objective is to get you and keep you in good health. Come check out our wide selection of vitamins, supplements, free-range meats, low-carb foods, grains, nuts, drinks, frozen foods, baby items, protein powders, aromatherapy products, and books. We're not just a store to make a sale. We're here to listen and help answer your health and diet questions and concerns. Ask about our customer mailing list for our quarterly sales and monthly specials. We offer daily 10% discounts for all seniors 55 and over. By customer request, a deli is in the plans for this year. If you want to be in good health, come visit us at 98-027 Hekaa Street, Suite 35. We're in the Harbor Center behind Cutter Ford in Aiea. Or call us anytime at 487-0082.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, my patient Clayton joins us to share his story of how he suffered with extreme dizziness, fatigue, anxiety, insomnia, and ravenous hunger, and how he beat his condition with natural medicine. Clayton, there was a question that came up at the break. You had all these extreme symptoms. They were affecting your life totally. The medical doctors couldn't find anything wrong with you. You came in to see me because you were desperate. You just wanted any kind of help. And I told you you had a systemic candida infection, which meant you had to not eat simple carbohydrates when your medical doctors were telling you to eat more simple carbohydrates. And you mentioned that after 3 weeks you were getting a lot better. But the question was, we eliminated a lot of food from your diet. Then what were you eating?
while you were being seen by me? Actually, you eliminated a lot of, I guess, my favorite foods. But there was a lot of choices. And meat was biggest item that I was able to eat. And I ate a lot of fish. I ate a lot of chicken. You know, there just wasn't side entrees. Mm. You know, no potatoes, no rice, but that left me with vegetables.
Mm-hmm. So vegetables and beans?
I made vegetables and beans, and you know, I adapted very well.
Mm. Yeah, you did very well. Clayton, after 6 weeks on the treatment, do you recall how you were feeling?
I was feeling much, much better. The dizzy spells were just slightly, and the dizzy spells would occur, you know, if I didn't eat for maybe 3 or more hours.
At that time. Yeah.
Right. So it got much, much better.
Where before you had to eat every hour.
I had to constantly eat. Right.
How was the fatigue at that point?
Actually, the fatigue pretty much went away.
Right? How was your sleep?
My sleeping was good. I was actually sleeping through the night, feeling rested in the morning.
I guess the anxieties symptoms had gone away after 3 weeks.
Right.
I guess they were still gone.
Yes, you know, I didn't have that fear, you know, that I was going to get worse, because now I could just, you know, I could sense that I was getting better. So my anxiety actually, you know, it just went away.
All right. You mentioned that you had sinus congestion since you were young.
Right.
How is the sinus congestion now?
You know, it was funny because when you had asked me in your office, by the way, how's your sinus? I just completely forgot that I had a problem, because when you eliminated dairy, you know, milk and ice cream from my diet, I completely forgot. I no longer had to clear my nose in the morning. I didn't have runny nose occasionally during the day. It just went away. I was actually surprised. First time in my life, I didn't have to carry Kleenex with me.
Yeah. We got a new Clayton now, you know, not the one known with right, the sinus congestion. Right. You also started to exercise after 6 weeks on the treatment.
I did. You know, I always tried to keep healthy. I always went to the gym. But, you know, 7 months before seeing you, when I was having these severe spells, I just basically cut out all exercising.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I went back and started to you know, run on the treadmill. I started to finally get back in shape.
Yeah, I guess you probably would be cautious about exercising before, when you were having the dizzy spells, because you might have it when you were exercising and really crash and
right.
fall.
I actually, you know, when I was at the gym, I would be on the treadmill and I would actually feel wobbly. You know, I would actually have to hold the rails because I thought that I might lose my balance. But actually, midway through exercising, I would be mentally exhausted. I would feel like, you know, what's wrong with me? I just don't have, you know, really, not physical energy, but I don't know if you would classify it like mental energy. I just couldn't function.
Wow. Okay. You could have actually started when I was treating you, because you had gotten well so quickly. We could have actually started to test for food sensitivities after you were on the treatment for only 3 months. But you chose to continue that strict diet beyond the first 3 months. Why did you choose to stay with that very strict diet for a longer period of time? I mean, most people would be so anxious to get off
right.
that diet. You chose to stay on. Why is that, Clayton?
Well, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, my symptoms were pretty severe. And having lived for 7 months with a great fear, you know, and anxiety, I tell you, when I started feeling better, it was just so exciting that, you know, I felt if I got off the diet too soon, that my symptoms would come back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So when you had mentioned, well, let's start resume eating some of the foods that you eliminated, I was hesitant. I said, no, let's not rush. I kind of like how I feel right now.
Well, I can understand that. And I'm glad you felt that way, because obviously the longer you stay on that treatment, the better you're going to get, as well as, you know, the longer you, if you're on that diet longer, we can really take care of that candida so it doesn't come back and,
right.
you know, cause you problems later on, whether it be months after you stop this treatment with me or years after you start the stop the treatment with me. After a period of time, though, it was time to see which foods may be affecting you. So we started to test for food allergies. And how we test for food allergies is we just introduce a food that you haven't eaten in a while, let's say about 6 months, because you're on this strict diet. We introduce corn for 4 days, to give you an idea. Which foods did you learn that you were allergic to, and what types of symptoms did they produce, and were you surprised by the food allergies that you had?
Right. You know, when we started reintroducing some of the foods, I was actually surprised to find out that white rice actually gave me dizzy spells. And, you know, I ate white rice my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually very surprised to learn that it still caused me, even to this day, if I eat a quantity of white rice, I'll get a dizzy spell.
Mm-hmm.
And orange juice. I'm a big lover of orange juice, fresh squeezed orange juice. I would drink probably 16 ounces three times a day, which I don't do anymore. Mm-hmm. Orange juice just it just made me feel kind of awkward. It just hard feeling to describe. Not really dizzy, but you can sense that
it's affecting you.
It's affecting me
negatively.
Right. Coffee did the same thing.
Did you drink a lot of coffee before?
Actually, I was a well-known. I can't mention the, I guess the establishment's name, but I was one of those people that would go to the establishment and pay $5 a cup every day.
Okay, well, you can mention the name if you want.
Okay,
but
no, I don't know. But no, I was one of those people. Every morning, gotta have my latte and my little muffin and head off to work.
Ah, okay. Are you doing that now?
No, now okay. I'm eating the healthy foods that you introduced to me. So I'm still eating oatmeal at home.
Very healthy. Very healthy. And you also had another food allergy, too.
Wine. I was a big lover of wine. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, when people say, well, you know, when you drink wine, you do get dizzy anyway. But, no, it's a different kind of dizziness.
Yeah, yours is really severe.
This one was, it was not like when you feel drunk. No, this one was really affected me.
You were allergic to foods that you loved. You ate a lot or drank a lot of.
Right.
What did you think of that? I mean, because, you know, a lot of my patients at the first visit, when I tell them we're going to have to eliminate these foods because they may be allergic to it, but some of them ask me why. Because, let's say in your case, you know, they say, well, I've always eaten oranges or drank coffee and maybe ate tomatoes. But why... You know, I've always eaten them, so I can't be allergic to those foods. And I tell them, well, you can develop the food allergies along the way, even though you weren't allergic to them when you were 1, 2, or 3, or 15 years old. You may develop a food sensitivity to them when you're an adult. How did you feel about your food allergies?
I was actually very surprised because, like you mentioned, you know, that's how I felt. You know, I always ate white rice my whole life, you know, and I've been drinking coffee for years, and I've drank orange juice, you know, as far as I can remember. And, you know, when you say an allergy, you know, you think about a physical external reaction, like, you know, hives or being itchy. So when you said food allergy, I really, you know, I just couldn't really understand what it would be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most people think sinus or maybe skin, right?
Right,
like hives.
Right.
But a lot of people don't think dizziness. You know, can be a symptom of allergy.
Right.
You know, white rice, a lot of people might be thinking, wow, you know, how come Clayton was allergic to white rice and not pasta or noodles, because that's a simple carbohydrate too. But even though they are both, let's say all three are simple carbohydrates, Clayton's not allergic to the wheat that makes the pasta or the bread. And you are eating pasta and bread.
I've eaten pasta on a, not as much as before.
Mm. Right. But you do eat it?
Occasionally, but I go to the health food store and I buy the whole wheat pasta now.
Okay. And no dizziness or?
No, and okay. I eat it just once in a while.
Okay, so Clayton is not allergic to the wheat that's in the pasta, but he's allergic to rice, unfortunately, and the white rice. Clay, before our treatment, would you have ever guessed that you were sensitive to those foods?
No. In fact, I would have never guessed I was sensitive to any foods, because I basically ate anything and drank anything I wanted.
Before. Never bothered you before.
I was fine. Yeah. I was fine.
I guess most people out there listening, they probably already know kind of how you're feeling, but would you just tell us how you are feeling now?
I'm actually, I would say, 99% back to normal. I do still have, you know, sensitivity to those foods that I mentioned earlier. But, you know, I basically have my life back. And, you know, I watch what I eat. I still avoid the dairy products for my sinus.
Mm-hmm. What's your feeling about the diet change that I put you on now? I know you said it wasn't difficult, but... And what are your feelings about naturopathic medicine now?
You know, this was the first time I was introduced to this type of treatment. The results were just so well worth the sacrifice. I actually, when I reflect back, I said, boy, that was easy. It was so easy that it was just very, very surprising to me.
Well said. What would you like to tell people who have, like, hypoglycemic problems?
I would say get tested for food sensitivities and change your diet, because you can gain control of your life.
Well said.
It's well worth it.
You also experienced an additional side effect from the treatment. How many pounds have you lost?
I wouldn't call it a side effect. I would call it a side benefit. I actually lost 23 pounds.
23 pounds from...
Right.
From when you started... You started to see me, I guess, in September of 2005 or so?
September 2005.
All right. Clayton, we only have about like 1 minute between you and me, but you had mentioned that you were disappointed with your medical doctor because he didn't make any recommendations for you to see another doctor of any type.
Right, you know, I guess when I went to my doctor, I looked at him as basically being an authority, you know, and to help me. But when I had left, I just basically felt abandoned. I didn't feel like I was given any options.